In a world of drive-thrus and TV dinners and ultra-processed snack foods at convenience stores and microwaves, we are no strangers to eating in haste. Maybe at one point you worked a job where you had a short lunch break and you had to scarf down whatever it was that you could in the time that you had. Or you had to get to some event and you needed to eat in about 10 or 15 minutes. And I think today, because of these types of things, we are much more likely to overeat. We are much more likely to consume too much because we're trying to consume it too fast. We're not listening to our body's signals. And we're also much more likely to not spend the time we should, both appreciating the process of finding and making our food, but also the process of eating it around a table with those who we love. And so generally, my advice to people when it comes to meals is to slow down, not to speed up. We're really good at speeding up when it comes to that. But there is one meal biblically which breaks this rule, and that is the Passover. We heard in Exodus tonight that the Lord commanded the people of Israel when they made the Passover that they should thus eat it with a belt on your waist, sandals on your feet, a staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The Israelites were commanded to eat in haste because they had to get ready to go on an intense journey. The Lord had commanded the final plague of Egypt to come over them, the death of the firstborn of all Egyptians. And so the Israelites, as a way to avoid that punishment for sin, were given blood. The blood of a lamb slaughtered, and the blood put on the doorpost. But with that blood and with that promise that the angel of death would pass over the Israelites' homes, also came a meal. And the meal also had a purpose. The meal was not only a burnt offering, a fire-roasted lamb for the Lord, but it was also a meal to strengthen the people for the journey. It came with unleavened bread, it came with bitter herbs, it came with everything that they needed. And that meal was much more like a meal that should be eaten in haste. You can think about maybe some sort of analogy for that today would be like a person who's running a marathon or on a long bike ride and they pull out one of those packets of carbs that they can suck down their gullet as fast as possible, so that they can just get the nutrients they need to keep running or keep pedaling. Or it's like when weightlifters get out of the gym, they're rushing home to get their protein shakes so that they can get as much muscle protein synthesis as possible. Don't ask me how I know about these things. But they need the food, they need the nutrients. And Israel had to go. They were about to escape from Egypt. They did not know, the Lord knew. They did not know exactly what lay ahead. They did not know that Pharaoh, that devilish man, was going to chase them with all his chariots and his army. They did not know that they were going to have to cross through the dry land of the Red Sea, waters separated from the left and the right. They did not know that after that they were going to spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness of sin and death and temptation. But the Lord knew, and the Lord wanted to feed them for that incredible journey. It is quite interesting then that this is the context at which our Lord and Savior institutes the new meal. In Hebrews that we've been studying throughout the last number of weeks during Lent, we have learned that the old is subsumed into the new. That the old was always in God's plan, pointing forward to that which would become new. The Passover was always going to be in the Lord's plan, the Lord's Supper. And in the Lord's Supper, Jesus does give us a new and a better meal. And you can tell it is a little different. It is the same in the sense that the unleavened bread sticks around, and that's the meal that they're having when Jesus institutes what it is he institutes. But it is different. There are no more bitter herbs. The New Testament doesn't even mention such things. And there is not fire-roasted lamb, at least not exactly. We'll talk about that more later. There is still the unleavened bread. There is also the addition of wine, which is interesting when you realize that Exodus doesn't actually mention wine. It seems that as the meal developed throughout history, wine was added. But the Old Testament does not mention that specifically. But even though it is different, I think one of the things we can intuit about the new meal, about our Lord's Supper, the New Testament meal, is that it is also, in some sense, a meal eaten with haste. You can see that just in the very fact of how it changes. That now in the New Testament, there is no need to go out and find a perfect spotless lamb to slaughter and to prepare for the meal. That would be quite a different task for the altar guild if every week to celebrate the Lord's Supper they had to go and come to my house and get one of our lambs and slaughter for the meal. That would be kind of obnoxious. But instead, it's two very shelf-stable foods. There is bread, which can be kept in the little plastic tubes under the counter for months at a time, and wine, which can be kept in the glass jugs for months at a time, and they stay good, and they stay ready to go. Secondly, it doesn't take that much time to have the Lord's Supper. It takes us, what, maybe 10 or 15 minutes on a Sunday morning? When you look at what Jesus does in that room with his disciples, he spends a lot more time, if you read John's Gospel, preaching to them and washing their feet and talking to them about all sorts of things and singing with them. But the meal itself doesn't take that long. He's reclining at a table with them. He says, "This is my body, this is my blood. Take, eat, take, drink." And then they go. And I don't say that to say that we should rush when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It is okay to piously take our time to celebrate and administer the Lord's Supper. But all of that is to say this, that the things written in the Old Testament were written for our instruction. And when the Lord teaches to eat the Passover with haste, it can teach us something about the new meal too. Luther famously said, "If you knew how many flaming arrows the devil had pointed at you at any moment, you would run to the supper as often and as fast as possible." You see, like the Israelites, we are also on a journey, a spiritual journey. We are living in the wilderness of this world, filled with sin and death and temptations. And we have a Pharaoh, the devil, who is constantly parading after us, looking to devour us. And we have come through the waters of our baptisms into this journey. And we need food. We need nutrients, spiritual nutrients, to fill us up and to provide for us what we need to keep going. And so we should celebrate the Lord's Supper with haste. Not with haste in the sense of just trying to get it done really fast so we can go home and eat lunch, but with haste in the sense of yearning. That we should week in and week out come and receive these nutrients for our faith. That we should look forward and yearn for that gift which God has given us in the bread and the wine, his own body and blood. What better thing could there be on this earth to receive but Christ himself? And we should thank God for giving it to us. We should thank him for his kindness in giving us such a wonderful gift. I don't think the Israelites realized the gift they were getting all the time. And the spiritual nutrients given to us in this meal that Jesus instituted 2,000 some odd years ago today, they really are that great. They're better than any protein shake, better than any convenience store food, better than any TV dinner, better than any carb packet you can stick down your gullet. They are Jesus' own body, broken for you, and his own blood shed for you. And in that body and in that blood, they are a testament to you, a new covenant for you, an inheritance for you. They give you all the gifts that Christ has promised you in this covenant, his forgiveness of sins, his life, and his salvation. And you can think back, if you want to know about how good these nutrients are, to those ways that the old differs from the new. There are no more bitter herbs than the new meal, because Jesus took the bitterness of our sin when he drank that sour wine, that gall, that bitterness on the cross. Instead, he outpours for us in a new cup the sweet wine, the sweet blood of his mercy and grace. And there is no fire-roasted lamb exactly, because Jesus is the fire-roasted lamb once for all. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God, that spotless Lamb who was strung up on the cross, dying for our salvation. And he was roasted there with fire, not boiled, but the fire of God's wrath for you, taking on the wrath that you deserve because of your sin. And that body of that lamb on that cross has given you in that sweet bread for the forgiveness of sins. And those are the nutrients you need. For in receiving them faithfully, the Lord brings you, just like he did for the Israelites, out of death and life. That blood marks you as one who has been redeemed by Christ the crucified. Matthew tells us that having ate the Lord's Supper, the disciples then sang a hymn and went on to the garden where Jesus would be betrayed. And so let us do the same tonight. Let us eat with haste, the haste of yearning, this meal which Christ has given. And let us sing a hymn or two like we've already done and go on our way this Holy Week journey. Let us go to the place where Jesus is betrayed. Let us go to Dark Gethsemane. Let us go to Golgotha, to the place where he dies and sheds his blood. And let us go to that tomb on Easter morning. The meal will be our strength for the journey. Amen. Amen.